Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Thursday, March 21st, 12 noon. 68 teams come together after a year of battling game after game after game, after a year of struggling just to get a spot in the dance. Finally, 68 teams got their invitation to the big dance, the NCAA Men's Championship Tournament. We call it March Madness. 68 teams, and then shortly after that, we begin to see the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. And then soon we were to see 64 teams left standing, and then 32. And today, March 28th, 2013, we see 16 teams remaining. We call it the Sweet 16. Today, myself, El Presidente Tom Marquis, Gene Walker, and $2 Bill Josh will break down those agonies, those thrills. Did you pick the Cinderella? Does your team fit the glass slipper? You do not want to miss today's episode of The Balance Presents the March Madness Update, coming your way in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, my minions, welcome to the Balance March Madness Update. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Well, the picture's becoming clearer and clearer and clearer. Just a few games away to we'll be talking about the Final Four. And on board with us today is Mr. Gene Walker and $2 Bill Josh. Gene, how you doing, sir? Gene, are you with us?
I am.
All right. Mr. Gene Walker, like I said, we're here at the March Madness Update. Could you just hear my opening dialogue by chance?
I did. It was dramatic and everything.
Did you like that? Did you like that? Man, I'll tell you what, man. It's amazing, the power of modern technology. We're standing by for $2 Bill Josh as well. we had him on the line. I don't know what happened to him. So I'm sure he's having his famous technical difficulties. There he is. Mr. $2 Bill Josh, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. Sorry about that.
Having the famous $2 technical difficulties. Josh, spend more than $2 on your phone. You may not have that problem.
Well, I spent $200, but then I dropped it. So now it's probably only worth $2. By the way, Gene, how you been? How's your week going?
We lost Gene again. Okay. All right. So we're just going to keep going here. Oh, man. We lost you, then we lost Gene.
That's the beauty of live radio.
I do not know. We're going to try to get Gene Walker back here. So, Josh, how's your brackets been treating you? Not so good?
Yeah, three-fourths of my Final Four is gone already. So, I just get to sit down and watch basketball. I already gave up on the bracket. I can't win it. So I'm just watching. I already threw my bracket away.
Well, I think there's been a lot of bracket busters and a lot of crying. That's for sure. We're standing by for Gene Walker. We hope to get him back on the line with us here in just a moment. And so we want to wait to get into the conversations of the games. Obviously, Sweet 16, as you heard about in our opening dialogue there, we started with 68, then 64, then 32, and now we're down to 16 teams. All the action begins out there in the nation's capital in Washington, D.C., Marquette and Miami, number 3 and number 2 seeds. And then later tonight, the beauty of them all, the one that we're all standing by for, number 4, Syracuse against number 1, IU. Tomorrow out on the West Coast, Los Angeles, Arizona, number 6 against number 2, Ohio State. And then after that, another really big game. LaSalle and Wichita State, number 13, against number 9 with seed as well. I do think we got Mr. Gene Walker. Gene, do you have one of those $2 phones as well?
It really has nothing to do with a $2 phone. When I'm under the bunker that I've created to keep me safe from the world that I'm offending, I must have structure. And that is what's keeping the signal from going through.
I understand. I understand. Gene Walker, a.k.a. Doomsday Prepper. But that's okay. We're all together here in one spot, guys. We do want to appreciate you joining us. This is The Balance Presents the March Madness Update. And, guys, I do want to take some time to put a plug in for The Balance. Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we're going to be talking everything sports, from racing to mostly March Madness. We've got to talk a little bit about that Miami Heat. And, Josh, do not talk about the Miami Heat today. Have to warn him about those sort of things. He gets all foaming at the mouth and stuff. But we'll save
Actually,
it.
I was going to say thanks to Gene Walker in Indiana Talk for giving the fellow media companies a boost up. Appreciate it, Gene.
You know, here's the thing about Indiana Talks, and we'll get into that here in just a minute. But I think it's going to be a great opportunity. The Balance will be simulcasting its live cast Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 on Indiana Talks as well. So, yeah, Mr. Walker gave us the hookup on that. Of course, I knew some of the behind-the-scenes people in the mix there. But good to be on Indiana Talks, and that begins Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to 11, live on Indiana Talks as well. Well, guys, this is the Balance Presents March Madness, and let's talk some March Madness. Let's talk about the agony of defeat, the thrill of victory. Let's talk about what got us here, and let's talk about where we're going to be going. Obviously, we just talked about today's games, Marquette and Miami coming up at 7:15, and then at 9:45, great game, Syracuse and Indiana, and then at 7:47 out at Los Angeles, Arizona, and Ohio State, and then LaSalle and Wichita State. Two of the best games, I think, will be in the evening games, the late evening games. So this is one of those nights you might want to think about taking a five-hour energy just to stay up and watch these late games, because there's going to be some good ones, and we want to get into that and break that down. Let's talk about what brought us here, what got us here, guys. You know, and I've been texting the both of you guys individually saying things like, can we use Bracket Buster yet? Can we use Bracket Buster yet? Mr. $2 Bill Josh, who was swinging on Florida Gulf Coast his balls, has now found himself bracketless. Bracketless.
But may I point out, while I'm bracketless, my Cinderella is still dancing. And Gator fans, you're going to hate me, but they're going to take the Florida Gators to school tomorrow.
So I'm not gonna go against anything on Florida coast, Gulf Coast, because, you know, here's the thing. That's what's about March Madness. That's why they call it Cinderella teams, and they will be a true Cinderella team, and that glass slipper will fit for sure. They're managed to go gator hunting and get themselves some gator meat. Well, let's talk about, guys, what has brought us here this week. Obviously, a big week in NCAA tournament games. And we started on Wednesday. A lot of people don't give those games on Wednesday a lot of credit. But we started on Wednesday, and then we went on through the weekend just to get us to where we're at now, guys. So we're going to start with you, Mr. Gene Walker. Tell us about your brackets and how's things shaping up for you in your brackets there.
Well, anybody wants to see the bracket, they can go to a number of sources, but the one I put out the most, the easiest one to find, of course, we got, you know, on your website, is out there with a lot of good information, and I'm on the ESPN's as well, under College Dance Party. If you go to the College Dance Party, you can see Savvy 4, and that's my daughter's name, Savannah, S-A-V-Y, the number 4, T-H, report down. I'm currently leading our 19-person group going to the Sweet 16, but as I can tell you, I was also leading going in the final game last year. It was me and one other guy, and I had Kansas, and he had Kentucky, and the team I picked played scared, and I ended up losing by like 5 points. So you can be ahead of whatever group you're in until the very end and still not make it. I'm proof positive of that. But I have three teams left in the final four. The team I lost was Wisconsin in day one. when we're talking about bracket busters, the definition of a bracket buster simply is, did the team that won, did they kill one of your big teams? That's a bracket buster, not an upset. Just an upset doesn't do it. If you only had, I'll give you an example of that. I picked Wichita State to beat Gonzaga. I also picked them, honestly, to beat Pitt. For the folks that picked Gonzaga and Pitt to go somewhere, that was a bracket buster. But if you had, let's say, you know, a team that only went, like, say, let's say Gonzaga had won or if Pitt had won, they don't break your bracket until your team that was supposed to go to the Elite Eight of the Final Four of the championship is gone immediately. Then it is. The pure upset, I don't know. And I mean, Florida Gulf Coast is one. If they win tonight, they are for everybody. Some people didn't have Georgetown going to the end. I didn't have Georgetown in the Final Four. So to me, they're not. But if they beat Florida tonight, then you're thinking, man, okay, now no one is picking this team to go to the Elite Eight. And if they get to the Final Four, they're another George Mason. So that's kind of how I view a bracket buster, is did they take out your big team? I picked six upsets. Five of them came through, a 10-7 Iowa State. I said a couple times with Wichita State. I had Minnesota over UCLA, basically because of the injury, because Minnesota's good every now and then. I did get Illinois and Colorado wrong on an upset. I picked the slight upset with the Buffaloes. But I feel pretty good about where I'm at so far. But, again, it doesn't mean much. There was one year I had all Final Four and all Elite Eight still going on at the Elite Eight, and I think I only got one or two in. So you never know how this thing works out. But you definitely want to get to this point of the tournament with most of your teams, because if you don't, then it's pretty much over for you anyway.
Absolutely. All right, $2 Bill Josh, talk with us about your brackets. I know your brackets, and we joke around about it, but we know that your brackets have kind of pretty much what you would consider anyway, fallen apart here. What's going on with your brackets?
I have one Final Four team left, Gene. I listened to you for the first couple rounds. I got a little greedy in the Sweet 16. In fact, three of my Final Four teams didn't even make the Sweet 16.
In fact, one didn't make it out of day one.
I had VCU and St. Louis in the Final Four. I listened to him, and I picked on the radio that Gonzaga would get beat, but on my bracket, for some stupid reason, I watched Kelly Olmec. I listened to Talking Heads tell me how great he was, and I picked Gonzaga to win the national championship. Not realizing they were lucky to get out of day one. So at this point, my bracket's in the trash. I could really care less. The only thing I have writing on the line is a $500 bet. And yes, I have a little bit of a gambling problem, but that's okay because I'm more a sports fan than a journalist, that IU will win the national championship.
All right, guys. Well, we move on. I'll tell you what. My brackets. I had two. What I would consider. I had one what I would consider a positive bracket, or a conservative bracket, if you will. Then I had more of a very upset bracket, and then I played with the big boys with Mike and Mike, so I tried to act like I knew what I was doing. So on one of my brackets, I had Kansas going into the Final Four with IU and St. Louis, and obviously we know in New Mexico, I'm sorry, obviously we know New Mexico and St. Louis are out, so I still have IU and Kansas in the Final Four in that one. And then in the other bracket is I had Cincinnati going to the final game with IU, Florida and IU still in the running, as well as Arizona. So I have Arizona, IU, and Florida is still going and still alive in my brackets, and in my final bracket with the big boys, where I try to act like I knew what I was doing. And maybe I should do that more often with my brackets, because in that one I have Michigan State, Kansas, IU, and New Mexico in the Final Four. Obviously Michigan State, Kansas, and IU still going at it. So I can say that I'm still moderately alive. But I can tell you one thing: New Mexico and Georgetown, both, and Gonzaga, I'm sorry, are both are teams. Well, Kansas State, for that matter, are all teams that kind of bit me and stung a little bit. But I think we'll still be able to pull it off. And I don't think I'm going to win my bracket, though. All right, guys, let's talk about today's games. 7:15 tonight, Marquette, Miami. two very good teams. And when you saw Marquette play Butler, and I tell you what, that was a heck of a game to watch as a fan. And maybe a lot of other variables. We certainly want to break that game down. Brad Stevens, I think he's going to stay right there at Butler this year. I think we talked a little bit about some of those openings that may pop open. UCLA, I know, Josh, you were talking about that. Every time a job opening comes up, Josh says, hey, that's going to be Brad Stevens' job, or that's going to be somebody from Indiana. But Brad Stevens, I think, is going to stay put right where he's at. But let's talk about that Marquette-Butler game. Obviously, Miami, another very good team. And we talked about this last week. Probably should have been a number one seed by a lot of people's views, but wasn't. But still, you've got a number three and a number two seed going at it. Here is one of those games that's going to be exciting to watch. So we'll start with you, Gene. Marquette, Miami, what are the keys to the game? What are some of the X factors that you're looking for in tonight's game?
Reggie Johnson is not going to play in this game tonight for Miami. And, you know, he's not a big scorer for them, but he's a big guy. And a big guy that wears down those starters for other teams, gets them in a little bit of a foul trouble, frustrated the Duke players the first time around, even the close game at Duke. And I think his presence is going to be missed to a point, but they're not going to really miss his points so much. That they're not going to have what I call the shield of a bodyguard for the other big men that are in there that are trying to keep out of foul trouble. Now, can Marquette take advantage of that? And, you know, Marquette's a pretty physical team. We'll have to see. Are they battle-tested? Marquette has won two close games, as close as they could be. You could argue they shouldn't even have made it to this point. Does that give them an advantage, though? Especially if this game goes down to the wire. I think where Miami almost lucked out in this by their pattern is that they are a team that if they get on a good roll, they're doomed to lose a game. They can't lose. They can't win too many in a row. Not that anybody can this year. But when they do pick up a loss or two or a close game, they readjust. And I think the fact that they struggled against Illinois is really going to refocus them because they had an absolute wipeout in their first round. So I do like the Miami Hurricanes. They are one of my Final Four teams. I picked them to get to the end. I'm not really rooting for them because I'd like to see the Big Ten do well. But, the bottom line, though, is Larkin. And when Larkin is getting his 14, 15 points a game and the offense is flowing, they're really a hard thing to come over. And Marquette, as athletic as they've been in the past, now finds themselves in the role of a half-court team. They're not nearly as athletic, and they don't want to get into any kind of game that resembles a Miami game where they won't win. They will not pull the hat trick. They need to slow this game down and make it very physical.
All right, Josh, tonight, Marquette and Miami. Let's talk about what are some of the factors of this game and what needs to happen in this game. What are some of the things you're looking for, Josh, in this game?
Well, normally I'd agree with Gene Walker, but today, Gene, on this game, you're flat out wrong. That's not a point you made that I agree with, other than it comes down to Shane Larkin and Reggie Johnson. Fact of the matter is Reggie Johnson not playing. Fact of the matter is Marquette's too big for Miami if he is playing. Fact he's not playing. They can do nothing inside against Marquette. Marquette will be way too tall. As far as Shane Larkin goes, Illinois gave a blueprint for how to beat Miami. Miami's been playing with smoke and mirrors the entire year. It was an absolute joke they were ever ranked number one. And as far as the Big East being weak, I agreed with you. I no longer can do that. Statistics say the Big East is not weak. If they were weak, as the media now claims, all of a sudden the East Coast media jumped off the Big East bandwagon, and I'm jumping on it. If they're so weak, how come 3 out of 16 spots are held by Big East teams? Fact of the matter is, when this night is said and done, Miami will have been lost by 20 points, and Buzz Williams is going to set his sights on the Syracuse Orange in an all-Big East regional final.
Well, absolutely. A lot of people, I think, have some sort of a grudge against the Big East, don't like teams like Louisville, Georgetown. Throw Marquette and Pitt in there, and you look at Syracuse also playing tonight. Those are all Big East teams that thought we thought would do well in the tournament, obviously, it's still that number one seed. Louisville is still hanging out there, and really, I don't see anybody. I think we're going to see a possible Louisville IU championship game, and I tell you what, that's ratings central. And I tell you what, though, you look at Marquette, and Marquette has really. Well, what I should say is they have, if you want to use the word buzzer beaters, or if you want to use whatever word that you want to use, Marquette won first of its two games by a combined 3 points, both, like I said, with late comebacks. And I don't know, this kind of feels like a deja vu for Loganda when they play tonight. But I think Miami has their hands full against Marquette. I don't think Marquette is physical enough to stop Miami. I think Miami is a very disciplined team, but there again, a number two and a number three seed, both out of the Big East, both know each other, both very familiar with each other. So this is one of those situations where you could say it's anybody's game, absolutely, but I think Miami will pull it out. It could be another one of those games with Marquette where we're sitting on the end of our seat and we're saying, really? Marquette wins, and so that wouldn't surprise me that we see a win from Marquette, guys, and it really would not surprise me at all. But I think that, you know, Marquette, if you want to talk about how they've screwed up a lot of people's brackets, I've got a lot of friends and different people on Facebook and Twitter have told me that Marquette kind of screwed up their bracket. So that said, Marquette has some power. They have some talent, and they have the ability to get physical inside the Hurricane Force, if you will. So I wouldn't put it past Marquette to win. Now, that said, my official pick, going against probably the grain of a lot of people, but my official pick in this particular situation would have to be Miami, although a lot of people are picking Marquette. So let's go ahead and get your official pick of tonight's game, Gene. Marquette or Miami?
Well, again, one quick thing, too. It was very interesting to see Josh jump on this depleted bandwagon after he made a case with me that it was weak. In fact, everything points to that. There was eight teams. We called this out at the beginning. There was eight teams that were brought in to the Big East into this tournament, and it was all nostalgia. It was all very tough media that gives people headaches for not doing what they wanted. All of those things combined, it's all of that. And now where are we at? Yeah, you know where we're at. I had Marquette going to Sweet 16. That didn't surprise me. But look, they only have three teams left. And after this round, they're not going to have anybody left but Louisville, just as I said. And it goes down to this again. It was an overrated conference to begin with. It was a nostalgia conference. And it was sad that the Big East was going away. I don't think we're better because the Big East is gone. But Georgetown, Cincinnati, Villanova, come on, look. Miami wins tonight, and they win tonight because Marquette has pretty much, they've pulled out the last miles too many times, so to speak, in this tournament. They don't have a third cat in the bag for them. I like the Hurricane.
Josh, your official pick. Josh, do we still have you? Go ahead, Josh.
My official pick will be Marquette by 20, and as far as another issue you brought up, not that we're going to get into this. We'll get more into this on Saturday. If Brad Stevens didn't have any interest in the UCLA job, trust me, he would have denied it by now.
Well, like you said, we'll talk about that on Saturday. I just think that Brad Stevens is perfectly happy where he's at. I don't even see him getting an offer out there at UCLA. I think there's a lot of people out there. Brad Stevens is a great coach, but he's certainly one of many great coaches that will be up for that job. And so, again, we'll get into that on Saturday. Well, guys, my official pick, like I said, is Miami, and it's going to be another close game for Marquette. I cannot see – I have to disagree with Josh on this. There's no way – unless there's just something I'm not seeing here, that this is going to be any type of a huge blowout. If Marquette was to pull it off, it's still going to be one of those last minute type of deals. All right, guys, let's move on. Arizona in Ohio State. A lot of people like Ohio State. A lot of people like the Big Ten in this particular matchup. Starting off, tip off at 7:47 over on WTBS, on TBS as it's shortened to say, Ohio State, Arizona. I really like this Arizona squad. Maybe it's just my hatred for Ohio State after what they did to IU, and just overall not being a big Ohio State fan. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe it's a lot of personal stuff. But I honestly think Arizona can wipe the floor with Ohio State Buckeyes. Gene?
Well, I'm not going to go that far. I think Arizona, I mean, you look at like comparable teams, Oregon did play four or five ranked teams this year. And they did fairly well against them. They did lose to Cincinnati, I believe. I think they beat UNLV earlier in the year and UCLA when they played them. I think they and I think they might have beaten Arizona too when they played them, that being Oregon. But if I recall, you know, Arizona's schedule itself was pretty porous. And the thing that I didn't like about Arizona was the thing I didn't like about Gonzaga, but just not as much, which is when Gonzaga came in this tournament, 33-some-odd games, they only played six teams that even made the tournament. That doesn't make you battle-ready to be a number one. That puts a target on your back, and that's why it was easy to pick Gonzaga to go bye-bye. As far as Arizona goes, kind of a lighter version of that. They're a little bit more talented in certain areas. Ohio State's a better basketball team. There's no question about it. And the question becomes, though, does Arizona get off running? Can they get going running the basketball? The one game that we saw up in the Big Ten tournament this year was Nebraska and Ohio State right off the bat. Though Ohio State won the game by 20, they didn't win the first half. And Arizona is built a lot like Nebraska with obviously more talent. They have a guard play, and they can move the ball, and they can slide up and down the court. But if Ohio State gets into that kind of game with them, then I could see Arizona giving them some trouble. But if this game at all has a medium tempo, some decent traps, and Kraft is playing the kind of defense I know he can play, and just give them, you know, some points, Thomas getting involved, which he's going to have to down the stretch of this tournament, no question about it. They're balanced now, but that might be just an excuse for saying one guy isn't taking over. I think Ohio State has the edge in this circle, and they played a much tougher schedule, which gets them ready for this kind of game.
Are you still there, Tom?
Hello?
Well, I guess we lost Tom, so I'll dive into this game, Gene.
Josh, go ahead. Josh, go ahead. I heard you. I apologize. I apologize, and I guess I did my typical didn't turn my mic on type deal, but that's okay. Ohio State versus Arizona Wildcats, Josh.
All right, this is the easiest game of the entire night for me to call. I think it'll be the most boring game of the entire night. I think it'll be the most lopsided game of the entire night. I don't see any reason why anybody with half a basketball mind would pick Arizona. Sean Miller, you're a great guy. Much respect for what you did with Xavier. Much respect for the job you've done replacing Lute Olson. But you're one of those teams. And I can't stand the fact you're in the Sweet 16. You're one of those teams. You've stolen that large bid from Iowa, from another team who actually deserved to be in this tournament, who actually put forth the work to be in this tournament. You played Oregon twice. You got blown out both times. You played UCLA. They ran you off the floor. So I was watching CBS Sports Network earlier today. Sean Miller and his players, they're on TV. They're talking about how they're not afraid of Ohio State, how they should be the favorite to win this region after they beat the Buckeyes. That sounds great. Fact of the matter is you don't have the talent and you don't have the coach to beat Ohio State. See, Thad Matta knows what it takes to win in March. He's done it. He's taken the team to the national title game. So for me, Sean, I've just lost a little bit of respect for you. I want to pick Ohio State to shut Arizona up.
Well, here's the thing, guys, and I don't really – we can save the big call, blown call by the refs, if you want to call it that. Perhaps maybe it would, but still at the same time, Kraft had to still make the shot. And so let's not put it all on the refs. It cracks me up when you get out there and you see the players get out there and they do this game after game after game and they play nearly every day of the week. And when players make mistakes, hey, that's all right, guys, shake it off, don't worry about it. Yeah, you'll do better next time around, what have you. Even if they were to miss a game-winning shot what we would call a buzzer beater and get out of the NCAA tournament because they missed a shot, we still say, hey, guys, hold your head high and proud. And then when the coaches mess up too every now and then. Coaches make poor decisions, and a lot of times you're like, well, you know, maybe you should have done this, maybe you should have done that. Why do we expect refs to be on this level of greatness, of the great temple of Babel, if you will, or whatever? Why do we put them up on this pedestal where we got to bow down to them and they're not allowed to make a mistake? Here's the thing. When you're looking at this shot, or what you want to call the blown call shot that cost Iowa State the game, if you want to look at that, and here's the thing. When a ref positions themselves, they've got to look at a lot of different factors. They can't catch everything at one time. Now, going back and looking, still at the same time, it wasn't a reviewable play, and he made the best call he did. Maybe he made a mistake looking back at it at the time? Possibly. But at the same time, everybody's entitled to mistakes. So I wouldn't say that Ohio State won this game based on a referee's miscalculation. And I know
are you talking about other people's comments, or were you referring to something that Josh said? Because Josh didn't bring that point up. Was this a point you were making about something else?
No, I apologize. I got off of my own little tyrant there. I said we'll talk about the blown call and stuff on Saturday.
Okay.
And that made me get on my own little soapbox.
Okay, here's the deal, and I you make a great point, is that the referees don't have any leeway, and it's ridiculous. And that I would grant you. But here's the problem I have. The rule of a part of the floor being restricted is probably the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. I played basketball. I'm 6'6" practically. I was down low. What is a restricted area all about anyway? Maybe we should stop making refs go through a myriad amount of crazy rules that shouldn't matter anyway. It's like it is ridiculous to say that a part of the floor you can't step on, as it would be to say on the 45-yard line, on the right hash, if your cleat hits that 15-yard penalty, the play is coming back. You know, you can stand under a basket and play defense. If you're stupid enough to do that, you're going to need a goaltending call. You're probably going to foul someone. So the rule that they were having to enforce was just bizarre to begin with. I don't like it in the NBA. I don't like it in the college game. Kraft did the only thing he could do, which was to hover over it. The referee did the only thing he could do, which is they call in a split second. The people we need to be looking at are the people that are trying to justify their jobs in these committees and the money they make and all the money around there by always adding things that just don't need to be there. The NBA started it, say, well, fine, you put a 7'3" guy into the basket, that's not fair. Again, if he's under there and you get the shot up and it comes down, he's going to have to goaltend. Because I don't know what the purpose of that is. Oh, it's illegal defense because they stay in the zone. If you want to leave your guy down there low, that's your choice. And that took the spirit away from how you want to coach a game in the NBA. And they're passing on college. The refs shouldn't have even had to deal with a restricted area. Why don't you just chop the area out, saw a circle in there, then if you step into it, you fall through it. It's so ridiculous. It's a ridiculous rule that had to be gone. Did it cost Iowa State the game? Probably. Is it the first time it's happening this year? No. It happened to the second Kansas team, too. But I agree with you, Tom. One thing is the referees don't get any leeway. Now, but I will say this, though, on your point about how we encourage people, we don't do it with the NBA guys because they're making money. So let's make sure we define who we're telling to go get a, you know, are we defining it by you're a college kid getting paid nothing while colleges make millions, we'll pat you on the back? Yes. You're an NBA player that's making tons, we'll pat you on the back? Absolutely not. So there is a distinction on who we're giving the credit to and not.
I agree. Go ahead, Josh, real quickly.
This isn't about the Iowa State game. I want Tom disagreed with me, Gene. I'm sure you'll agree with me. This flagrant foul junk they're calling is absurd. If I'm a defensive player, I have literally no incentive to guard the offensive player. Just stand close enough for him to hit me. And then he'll get a flagrant one call. We'll get two shots in the ball. Are you kidding me? Why would you bother to play defense? Literally just stand there. Do you agree, Gene?
Well, to the spirit of what you're talking about, I actually do agree. Because what's happened in this situation is you've taken the onus off of being able to just play good defense. Now what it's saying is you have to slip in there. We always want our guys to get set. We always want feet to be established. in the case of Kraft, his feet were not established. The tiptoe is not established. It's still a sliding foot by any definition I've ever heard of. And so, yeah, I do agree. It's almost like once you stick your hand straight up in the air and a referee calls you for something and you didn't move, from that point on, you almost give the shot up, because if you get two more fouls, you're on the bench for the rest of the half. So in that sense, I do agree with you.
All right, guys, I look at our time here, and we've got a couple other games to get through here, and certainly those are some all very good arguments and very good discussions. We want to stay on point just so that we could get through these games of today. And here's the thing. I think, in going real quickly on this Wildcat-Buckeye game, I think, you know, here's the thing about Ohio State. I mean, Arizona, I'm sorry. I think Arizona is playing its best basketball of the entire season right now. And it's hard to gauge against a team playing this good of basketball. Now, where do you think Ohio State is currently? I mean, Ohio State has won 10 straight games, 8 against competition in the toughest league in the sport. And Iowa State certainly proved themselves to be more than capable giant killers. Let's face it, they were in that game the whole time, and we don't have time to get into the debate about the call, the ref's call, and all of that. But Ohio State faces easily their stiffest competition tonight. But I think very much confidence goes a long way, and the Wildcats have a lot of confidence. So I'm picking the Wildcats to win, and it's going to be a close one. And maybe I shouldn't have used the word mop the floor with Ohio State. Just a simple loss in the NCAA March Madness brackets, to me, from Ohio State, is mopping the floor. So I probably should have used a better terminology to describe that. I think it's going to be a close game. Arizona wins 73-70. Gene, what's your official pick? Arizona, Ohio State.
Ohio State played almost half of their games this year against teams that were ranked. That's the case I made for Iowa, too. So you better believe I'm picking Ohio State. And I think the game is going to get slowed down. The one chance Arizona does have is if they get up and they can run the ball. Not that Ohio State can't move, but really get that transition going. They love down in the Southwest. That is the end and the beginning of their entire strategy. I don't see that happening. And I do believe strength of schedule does matter. I like the Buckeyes to win by probably about 14 points. And I think people were misled by that last blowout by Arizona, because the team they're facing tonight doesn't look anything like that team at all.
Well, and you're right. Both teams play a lot of good defense. And I'll tell you what, it might just boil down to the fact if Arizona can force some turnovers from Ohio State. Josh, real quickly, your official pick, Arizona, Ohio State, Buckeyes.
Arizona doesn't belong in this tournament. They know they don't belong in this tournament. And Iowa, this beat down by Ohio State tonight, I'm dedicating on my behalf, is for you. Ohio State 85, Arizona 61, and it won't be that close.
Well, we'll see. Obviously, we're all gonna stay up for that game, as well as the IU game, guys. Indiana, Syracuse. Now, guys, we talked about possibly the only team out there who can upset Indiana would be Miami. So we look at the brackets and how they've shaped up. Syracuse certainly is a team to contend with, and I obviously, being a big IU guy, I'm going with them all the way. You've heard me put them in the Final Four and in the championship game. So obviously, I'm going for Indiana. But I tell you what, if there's one thing about Syracuse, they know how to get physical. And by this point in our game, we know, people know. Look at what Temple was able to do against IU. As good as IU is, IU has to play better basketball. And I think they got a very tough wake-up call against Temple. Hopefully they did some preparation and stuff. But when you look at Syracuse play, and you look at how Temple played against IU does no easy road tonight. And this is going to be another tough challenge for IU. And as I've said all along, it could come down to IU and Miami in that game to get to the Final Four in the Elite Eight. Gene, so let's talk about what are you looking for in the Syracuse-IU game tonight.
Well, I just think that, you know, there's going to have to be a concerted effort, much like there was in the James Madison game, for Yogi to get involved for the IU Hoosiers. I think he's a wrinkle that other teams don't count on. The comment I made about him, even just a few games ago, was, why isn't this guy scoring? Why isn't he? I remember him in high school, seeing tapes of him in high school, just flat out being better at dribble penetration into the lane than almost any point guard in America. And I truly mean that. Now, I didn't say finish for the score all the time. I just said the ability to get it down in there, pass everybody in the area you don't want a guy, a one especially, to be with the kind of vision that he has to pass the ball. I think he has to be as involved in this game scoring-wise as he did against James Madison, and this is a whole different team than James Madison. I picked the Hoosiers to make the Elite Eight going out to Miami, but I will admit, this is a scary game right now. It's a scary game because of the fact that even though I didn't like the Big East this year, Syracuse is one of the teams I did like other than Louisville, and I truly believe that Zeller will have to be headless tonight. Zeller will have, and it'll be ugly. It'll be a hard 20 to 24 points for him if he can get it. Chances are he might not even be up to 16 or 18. We know what happens when Zeller doesn't score in the mid-20s. Usually that spells doom for them. But if you can get those other people involved, if you get Christian involved, where he's hitting maybe a couple threes but not taking all his shots in the arc, I think Indiana does get by in this game. But I will say, if they don't play any better or they're not any more effective, and I like your point on the Temple game, this would probably be the end of their season tonight. I hope not for Hoosier fans. I hope not for the conference. And I hope not because I want them to be right, given my hate, too, of course.
Well, absolutely, and I'm excited to watch that game tonight, guys. And obviously, is a late game. I believe it starts at 8:40 as well. And here's the thing, guys: it's only the 15th time, and I know this is Gene's favorite rant topic, so we'll have to save this lighting of the fuse till Saturday. But it's only the 15th time since the tournament expanded to 64 teams in 1985, and the first since 2009 that the four highest seed teams advance to the regional semifinals. Guys, there's no Florida Coast fans in this crowd, that's for sure. It's a collection of college basketball big boys, with two teams from the Big East and one from the Big Ten and Atlantic Conference, Coast Conference. Three of the four have won national titles at least once, and obviously including Syracuse back in 2003. Syracuse, I think, will confront Indiana tonight with its 2-3 zone, and that's typically tough for teams that don't see that type of play. So I'm hoping that Coach Green has some counterbalances and stuff. And you said that right. Zeller has to show up tonight, as well as everybody else. And I'm worried about that injury that happened to Hall's shoulder as well. Josh, I know you follow IU a lot. We're IU fans here on the show. So, real quickly, what are you looking for tonight in this IU-Syracuse game?
Hoosier Nation, after I gave you my prediction and why I made this prediction, you're very well going to take my Hoosier Nation card away from me. So, ahead of time, I'm going to go ahead and resign my Hoosier Nation card for the night. Fact of the matter is,
We'll just put that right over by your man card. Go ahead.
Fact of the matter is, Jordy Halls and Yogi Ferrell are 6 foot tall in heels. I know they don't wear heels, but they'd have to put something in their shoe to actually be 6 foot tall. They're more like 5'10", 5'11". You look at the guards that play for Syracuse, they're 6'7", 6'6", 6'5", 6'4". When you put those guards on Jordy Halls, Oladipo, Yogi Ferrell, that takes Oladipo and Halls out of the game. Okay, right there, if you take Oladipo out of the game, IU can't do it. We all know if you put too much weight on Cody Zeller, you can't carry it. I don't see any scenario where Oladipo can get to 20 points. Oladipo doesn't get to 20 points, that means they're going to put two big guys down on Cody Zeller and say, okay, have Yogi Ferrell and Will Sheehy beat us. Sheehy, you're a great player. I think you might even have NBA potential. Yogi Ferrell, you might, if you can grow a little bit, you're only 18 years old, you might be able to get a little bit taller. Fact of the matter is, IU's too small on the perimeter. They haven't seen a 2-3 zone like Syracuse runs. Cody Zeller hasn't proven, even though the experts would have you believe he'll be the number one pick in the draft, he's the next coming of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Wilt Chamberlain, Shaquille O'Neal. They'll have you think he's the next big center. That's what they said about Greg Oden, too. I don't see any scenario where IU can win this game tonight. I'm sorry, Tom Crean, you're going to get spanked tonight, and it's because you refuse. You refuse to Marquette, and you refuse in Indiana to recruit guards who are over 6 foot tall.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Coach Crean put it best. I think he said the challenge never ceases. And, you know, here's the thing. Say what you want about Coach Crean's recruiting. They've led scoring 16.7 and rebounding by Zodi. And Olin Depot, or I call him Home Depot, is a contender for National Player of the Year, guys. So say what you want about recruiting. Coach Crean, to me, has proven himself that he's got a great class. And it's going to be a tough game for them tonight. Let's absolutely admit that. And I think everybody in Hoosier Nation believes that. And like Gene pointed out, if they can't get in there and play some ball face-to-face for a full game and not try to win this from a deficit from behind in the second half, this could very well be the end of IU season. All right, official pick, Mr. Gene Walker, Syracuse, IU.
Well, I'm going to tell you, back to strength of schedule, and you say it's the same. We know it's not. We know the Big East isn't as good as the Big Ten, and they've proved that through two rounds. And C.J. Fair is going to have his fair share of whatnot. He's going to have a lot of points. He's going to have to probably have more than his average, which is right around 14 points. From a mid-range jumping perspective, Boeheim likes it in and out. If they can hold Fair in check, I don't see Syracuse winning this game unless everybody for Indiana just collapsed. I do agree, however, Yogi Ferrell might be 5'9", last time I checked. We all got 2 extra inches when he played. I was 6'7", when I played, believe it or not. So the bottom line is this. I like Indiana in just a death squeaker, barely getting by Syracuse tonight. And just for the sake of this conference and the sake of this, I hope I'm wrong. I hope that Indiana goes out and just pulls away. I don't see them pulling away from Syracuse. I see them beat them barely.
Well, when you look at the spread is only 5.5. So when you look at that, if that plays, you're absolutely right about that. If that plays any part of that, and you know, I'm 44 years old. I've been looking for a couple extra inches since I was like 13. So. Sit on that. Let that stew for a while. That might click in with you. $2 bill, Josh. Your official pick, IU Syracuse.
My official pick is Syracuse, and I just wanted to pass along a message I just got from our good friend Tony D. Danny Granger is out for the rest of the entire season for the Indiana Pacers.
Way to stick with the March Madness there, Josh.
Breaking news, Tom. Breaking news.
Josh, it is breaking news. Every time we can depend on Josh's breaking news. All right, guys, another great game. And I tell you what, they save, in my opinion, they save the best games for last today. LaSalle at Wichita State. I tell you what, I like Wichita State. I've liked them since the beginning of the tournament. LaSalle totally surprised me. So here's the deal. LaSalle's going to be a tough opponent. Gene, what are the things you're looking for in this Wichita-LaSalle State game?
Well, I mean, again, being somebody that felt like Wichita State was going to get the Sweet 16, picked them and they did. The Shockers shocked me, not even in the least. LaSalle has shocked me. LaSalle is the team that really has come out of nowhere. They're talking about Florida Gulf Coast, and I understand why, besides the school and the fact they've only been around for, you know, 13, 14 years. But the team that really defines the sleeper is LaSalle, because LaSalle actually is in a position now where I think they have just as much chance to win this game as Wichita State does. Wichita State knew they had a mountain to climb with Pittsburgh, a couple players, and especially down low, certainly with Gonzaga, and they went after those guys. LaSalle is a more balanced basketball team when it comes to just trying to pick out who's who. Yes, Wright gives you a lot of points. They have spread it out. They've done exactly what I think they need to do. Philadelphia has known about this all year. And I'll tell you what, they take turns. They take turns at switching off whoever their big guy is from game to game. That's what's going to be a killer maybe for Wichita State tonight, is LaSalle can rely on other people and other talent to take up the lion's share of what needs to be done, especially on the offensive board and the offensive glass. With that being said, I wouldn't be surprised to see LaSalle win this game. I think that of all the teams that are out there right now, the leads have been made about those that have really made hay. Wichita State has been in the limelight, and they should be. Florida Gulf Coast, we can't stop hearing about these guys, and they should be. LaSalle is just as Cinderella as any one of them as far as I'm concerned. Maybe not quite the size of school, but certainly in the fact they don't have a lot of rep in this tournament. And nobody's talking about them even now. In an anonymous game, I think they're a very scary team tonight.
All right, Josh, let's talk about this LaSalle, Wichita State. What are your thoughts? What are you looking for in this game?
Well, first of all, Gene, you were the only—you were one or two people on this panel, Tom being the other, who thought Wichita State had a chance to get here. I had Pittsburgh beating them and moving on to the Sweet 16. It's an awesome accomplishment for both teams. This is the fourth year in a row. It started with VCU, that a team who played in the first four has made it to the Sweet 16. LaSalle has an interesting starting lineup. They start four guards and a big man. The problem I think LaSalle is going to run into, and I have much respect, they won three impressive games. They won the Atlantic, a couple of games in the Atlantic 10 tournament, is Wichita State's just too big. And LaSalle likes to get out and run the fast break, which is why they start four guards. But if you can't get to the rebounds, you can't fast break very well. And if you're the smaller team, do you really want to have to get into, let's try to get the ball into the paint and try to score that way? Because if you're the smaller team, then you know you can't take the ball inside. Now, the advantage LaSalle has is they do start four guards, but it's also their fatal flaw. So on this game, I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be in the 60s, which apparently if you hit 70 now in college basketball, it's the same as hitting 90 used to be. But I think it's going to be a very close game.
All right. I tell you what, though, in all reality, yes, I did like Wichita State, and I think both of us liked Gene and I liked him. I picked Wichita State to move on in there. One thing about Wichita State and LaSalle, both of them have busted a few brackets in the early wins in the tournament. Now they're in the Final 16 playing a short drive from Hollywood, if you will. I wouldn't script their matchup tonight as a meeting of underdogs, that's for sure. These guys, at least, there's an old saying, you know what makes a mean dog is the mean dog thinks he's a mean dog. So what happens here in a game like this, you have two teams who think they have a lot of credibility, even if most of the country didn't even pay any attention to them until now. The ninth seed Shockers, 28-8, number 13 Explorers, go against the 24-9 second West Regional semifinal on Thursday night at the Staples Center. Now that's where, and I know, Gene, you're probably somewhat familiar with Staples Centers. That's where Kobe Bryant of the Lakers and Blake Griffin of the Clippers can usually be found changing outcomes with last-second jumpers or highlight reel dunks. But I don't know if you guys watch, how much you watch of sports television. I probably watch more than I should just because of what I do. But Raymond Galloway of LaSalle was dunking it like crazy. Some of his what looked like NBA-style type dunks in Wednesday practice. And obviously the senior guard, the Philly-bred players, there's a lot to be said about that. And the Explorers and the Shockers have proud pass in the tournament. So, again, this could be anybody's game. LaSalle was the 1954 national champion, and Wichita State made the 1965 Final Four, and LaSalle made an appearance at the 1976 State Fair. Anyway.
Was this the Louisville YMCA?
It was one of those AU games or something, I think. But it was the 1965 AU finals. But obviously, I don't have stats to back that up. I'm just talking. Now, here's the thing, guys. Let's look at our official pick here real quickly, while we still got a few minutes left. Official pick: Wichita State and LaSalle. Which way does this go tonight, Gene?
Well, you know, you would think that the tougher schedule would have went to Wichita State. But when then you look at a little closer and realize they split with Butler, split with BCU, they played Temple down to the wire pretty much. They played St. Louis. They beat Kansas State. They beat Ole Miss. You know, I think they obviously they have a rougher road here. I've always said I just thought Gonzaga should have been a 2 or 3 or even a 4, despite their gaudy record. And I just got, you know, I rode the Wichita State wagon to the Sweet 16. I thank them for making me sort of look like I know what I'm talking about. But I've just got a real feeling LaSalle's going to win this game tonight. And I can't put any one finger on it. It's a coin flip game to me because Wichita State at times has not controlled pace. They had a tough schedule, don't get me wrong. But I just think that right now I like LaSalle in this ball game. Josh brings up a great point, though. If they can't get in there and just outwork Wichita State, they won't win just because Wichita State is a bigger basketball team than them. That doesn't always translate into wins. But I think LaSalle is absolutely going to just outwork the Shockers tonight and win this game.
All right, guys. I'm sorry, Josh, real quickly. What's your official pick, LaSalle, Wichita State?
I'm going to pick Wichita State because the one thing you can't teach is height.
Well, I'm going to go with you on that, Josh. I'm going to stick with the Hornets on this, or whatever they're called. What are they called? The Shockers? Hornets? I'm looking at their mascot here online. Shockers? Is that, yeah, they're the Shockers.
The Children of the Corn. Yeah.
Children of the Corn. That's right. Well, guys, tomorrow's Good Friday. And for us Christians on board here, Good Friday resembles a lot of great things. But can it also resemble some great basketball? Will Good Friday be good to March Madness? And we're talking about Louisville and Oregon, Kansas and Michigan, Michigan State at Duke, and that game that everybody's just going to watch just because. Florida Gulf Coast at Florida. and that is going to be a fantastic game as far as fans go. I think that's just going to be a situation where Florida Gulf Coast, if, like I said earlier on in the show, they will prove themselves to be a true indeed Cinderella team if they put down the Gators. Real quickly, guys, let's go through this. Gene, Oregon, Louisville. I tell you what, I don't see that there's anybody that can stop the Cardinals. But I can tell you one thing, when Oregon goes out there in their highlighter uniforms, there might be a possibility that they could be blinded by brightness. Gene, Louisville, Oregon, what are your thoughts?
The Ducks are going to absolutely have to come out and shoot the basketball like it's their one and only chance to make the squad in the NBA. You know, you get like 20 minutes, you're in the game, you're not making any way, you're being shown the door, Jack the Rock up and jack it up even if you're guarded and hope they all fall. And if they do, then you have a chance. Short of that, they don't stack up with Louisville in any sense of the word. Louisville, you know, the reason I took them to go all the way this year is just because I just think they're just the most complete team out there. I like what they're doing. I'm taking the Cardinals.
All right, guys, real quickly, we're going to get these real quickly. Michigan and Kansas.
I think Kansas is going to win. They're the better team.
Michigan wins that game, in my opinion. Gene, Michigan and Kansas, who wins?
I'm taking Kansas, and just for the sake of the 10, I like the way Michigan's playing, that's for sure, but I think Kansas wins the game.
I think the Jayhawks' day ends tomorrow on Good Friday. Michigan State at Duke. Gene, who do you think? Michigan
I like the Spartans. I think the Big Ten's going to get this one.
Josh, Michigan State at Duke.
I'm rooting for Michigan State to send the Duke Choir Boys back to North Carolina.
I tell you what, maybe it's just me. Maybe I know Duke and their experience in these type of situations in the NCAA. I don't want to rule out Duke for a lot of reasons. I'm going with Duke. I'm going against the grain there, guys. Duke beat Michigan State, guys. Real Cinderella team, guys. Florida Gulf Coast at Florida. I think the Gators, it's been a great season for Florida Gulf Coast. Nothing to be ashamed of, but Florida's certainly the better team. Gene?
Yeah, I think they've already celebrated like it was 1999, and I think that it's the end of the road for Florida Gulf Coast, and they're also worried about how much money they have left now from what I heard from the athletic director on this report. So I'm taking Florida, but they were the best story probably.
All right, Josh, real quickly, Florida Gulf Coast.
I got to stick with my Cinderella team, so I can't stick with her anymore. So Florida Gulf Coast.
All right, guys, that's going to do it. We're going to have another update tomorrow before tomorrow's game. It's probably about this same time, guys. So you guys have a good weekend. Go Hoosiers. We'll see you guys right here on the Balance March Madness update tomorrow.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.